0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a mixed night of European qualification action for the Scottish clubs. Rangers lose away to Jagiellonia Białystok, leaving work to be done in the second leg at Ibrox. Hibs win, Motherwell draw, and a tough night for Hearts in Portugal. It's unknown if Martin O'Neill will return to the dugout this weekend. Big fixtures everywhere, including Celtic's trip to the grass pitch in Kilmarnock. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Scott Allen. Friday night, European games to look back on, league fixtures to come. What more could you want?
I think last night there was some very good performances, none more so than Motherwell. Great win against Hibs at the weekend, and then they followed up a fantastic performance in Helsinki, and I think they go into the weekend full of confidence. I think they'll look at that tie next Thursday with real belief. Hibs, for me, they got the job done. I still think they'll come through, and I think it's similar with Rangers. You look at the Rangers' performance, first half just not at the races, second half it did improve, and I do feel they'll have enough to come through the tie. But lots to talk about, but some big games coming up in the league this weekend.
Yeah, it's pass mark for Hibs. Good win in the end. I think a really good draw for Motherwell at a difficult venue. Motherwell again playing very well. Hearts, I think we just need to airbrush that from Scottish football history, Gordon.
Can you accept that one?
Good goal.
It was a good goal.
Take that, Tom, the positives.
Reno, that is the positives, but I think after a couple of minutes I was feeling that was going to be a record defeat.
Is it wrong? Is it wrong at 4-1? I was thinking, that's fine. You've got your goal. You can have a nice moment in Portugal, head back up the road. The last two goals are hopeful.
It was a mismatch, and I actually feel really sorry for Wouter Franken, who's come in and he's had to deal with so many changes, but not a good night. And as for Rangers, I think the temperature is rising around Ibrox way just now. Two competitive games, no competitive wins. I think there's a lot of questions being asked of that Rangers team so far.
Well, let's ask more questions and then try and answer them. 0141 951 1025. We're here until 8 o'clock, so get your calls in. What did you make of last night? There's a lot to get through. We actually got a bit of a flavour of it because we were on after full time in Poland. There was not a lot of love for the Rangers' performance, let me tell you. I wonder if people feel differently having had 24 hours or so to pour over it. So what do you think, Rangers fans? It was a defeat on the night. Derek McInnes was not too impressed with some of the defending. There were chances created, chances passed up. But overall, what did you make of the performance? Where did it go wrong? What didn't work? What were the positives, if you think there were some? And did you see enough to suggest you can come through the tie next week? Usually at this time of the year, it's all blends into one when you talk about recruitment and how big a part does that play in whatever you're seeing on the pitch. So maybe you've got some thoughts there as well. 0141 951 1025. I don't know what happened over in Helsinki, but the number of Motherwell fans we had on from Helsinki over the last couple of nights was quite something. So if you're still there, give us a call, or if you've somehow made your way back through various transferred flights, then again, get your thoughts in. Let us know how the trip was, how the game was. Hibs fans, Hearts fans, anyone involved last night, get all your thoughts in. Maybe you're going to tell us that we've got it all wrong about Hearts. Maybe you did enjoy it. Maybe that's what it was all about, competing in that stage and those stadiums and scoring the goal. So Jambos fans, we would love to hear from you. And then on to the weekend as well. Once again, we wish Martin O'Neill well. Clearly not for us to debate or speculate on his health conditions and when he'll be back, but it's unknown at the moment. Sean Maloney saying there's a chance, but he'll leave it up to Martin O'Neill himself. How do you feel about the game this weekend? It is on the grass. 12 years the AstroTurf has been down. It's the most exciting debut of the season. You always want to turn up and see new players at this time of season. I just can't wait to see the new pitch.
The only man that's going to be disappointed is Casper, who he just wants to play
the Astros
pitches
just in time. They've ripped it out. Everyone's bemoaned it for years. So it's nice to have it. And I was down there the other day. It looks great. I now know more about grass than I ever needed to know.
You've been educated.
I've
with
been well informed by the good people at Kilmarnock. And looking forward to that.
It does look good though. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the thing. I think Kilmarnock, to be fair,
no, this isn't a cheap option.
They have gone
£1.5 million.
Yeah. So I mean, the pictures, it looks amazing. And look, not before time, how long have we spent talking about plastic pitches in the Scottish Premiership?
I actually can't quite believe that's 12 years that's been down though.
I know.
It's actually incredible. Played on the grass pitch.
That's showing your age.
And Hamilton's grass pitch.
Played in Killies?
Kelly,
before, it, before it changed.
But it was always good. It was flat.
It was for the 14-15 season they changed it. There we go, a thing of the past. But anyway, whether it is the weekend or last night, same number, we're here for you. 01419511025. I'd love to get all the thoughts, because it's almost like when you're starved of the real debate over the summer, it just intensifies as soon as it picks up after the break. The level of debate about Rangers' performance, result, recruitment and everything that I've seen on social media today has been remarkable for... what are we, 7th of August? It's like we've never been away.
Yeah, 7th of August, two games. But look, the man who won't be surprised is Derek McInnes. He knows what he was walking into. He knew the expectation, the pressures. And, you know, it was a bad start at Tannadice. There was no sugarcoating it. Rangers needed to get off to a winning start. They didn't. And it then put a bit of pressure on them going to Poland. I don't think Jagiellonia were great by any stretch of the imagination. But what they are is very good in the counter-attack. They've got a lot of pace. They can hurt you. And Rangers, to quote Derek McInnes, were just architects of their own downfall. Gordon, it was really interesting after the game listening to him, and he said they weren't focused enough, they weren't aggressive enough, they weren't concentrated enough, and they didn't talk enough, which is pretty damning for those players out on the pitch. They have to improve in that sense. I still think Rangers have got enough to get through the tie, but the slackness and the errors that were creeping in last night can't continue.
01419511025. Let us know what you think. Alan is first through. What did you make of it, Alan?
Very poor first half performance again. I've just seen that to the producer. I was on previously when Derek McInnes was getting touted as a Rangers manager, and he wasn't for me, but he's here just now and I'll support him. But I think a lot of fans are scratching their head at his Dundee United team selection and last night team selection. He's changed it at half time on two occasions with three subs, and it's changed the game. I think we should have won against Dundee United the second half last night. They still had chances, but we were better the second half. It's his team selections in the first half, the two games that he's had so far.
Alan makes a good point, Scott. Even if you hadn't watched the Rangers game, let's just say you'd opened up your Score app, whichever one you use, and you had checked and seen that Rangers have made five half-time subs in the two games. That managers don't just do that unless they're unhappy. So two on Friday night, three last night. Is that quite an indicator that it is early days and struggling maybe to find the best solution?
Yeah, that is all the evidence you kind of need to know, that he doesn't quite know what his best team is yet, and he's trying to find a formula to get the best out of the players that have come in the building, to go alongside players who have been there for the last couple of years. And at this moment in time, it just isn't clicking. Whether that's the shape, but I want to come away from the shape. I know a lot of people spoke about that. At times you have to take responsibility on the pitch. There's been a lot of individual errors, guys not putting pressure on the ball. Derek McInnes spoke about it, as he says, about not being aggressive. That should be a fundamental, especially for your back four and an away tie in Europe, which you've seen Rangers do very well over the last few years. So there are things as a manager that would really frustrate you, and you could sense that in Derek McInnes's interview. But I think you could see maybe the same again this week. I think we'll see changes again, just naturally, because he just can't get into a rhythm at this moment in time.
Even for you've got collective and then individuals, David, like take Daniel would be a good example. Came on at half time in the first game, not chosen to start the match, but starts last night with the captain's armband, comes off at half time. Again, I know there's a horses for courses element because it's a totally different tactical challenge, but the only striker that didn't start the other night was Chermiti. He's the one that then leads the line on his own. So I suppose this is just the unforgiving nature of the schedule as well, especially if results aren't going to plan and then you're constantly scrambling to find the right solution.
Yeah, and I suppose any manager, you know, Derek McInnes would not have gone into those two games wanting to make as many half-time substitutions. No manager would. So you can look at it two ways. Either named the wrong team, which probably is the case, but he also showed that, you know what, I'm not scared to go and change it and admit that. But it can be quite confusing for fans, because if you're seeing Dan Neil not starting the first game, then giving the armband, and then only lasting 45 minutes, and you've got a guy coming on to try and rescue the game, Nico Raskin, who everybody expects and accepts is probably going to leave the football club in a little while. So I think right now Derek McInnes is grappling around for his best formation, his best team, and just some partnerships around the pitch as well. You know, you look at Mo Diamandé, the different roles he's played. Cammy Devlin's been in, he's been out.
That's a great point, though, because see on the pitch, that's partnerships and being on the same wavelength as people. It's such an important thing. And I think you're absolutely on the money there, that you can't see that throughout the team at this moment.
How concerning's the defending been, Alan, over the two games?
Oh, terrible. I think we all agree and believe there is a When he came in last year, Fernandes went on to a really good season, and there's a player there, but at times you could choke the life out of him, like as everybody said about the Dundee United game last week. He was so slow getting back into position. If he'd done the sprint, he's cutting the ball out last night. Okay, slid, I get that, but sometimes you see it yourself. And just on Warren Shankland, that's where I found that strange, him being named the club captain, because there's a lot of games I don't think he'll play. So I found that strange, naming him the club captain.
Two interesting players to pick out. What? Let's talk about Emmanuel Fernandes, because one minute he's seen as a multi tens of millions of pounds worth of talent perhaps, and could be the next to kick on, and now he's been slaughtered for the last two games. Fans are talking about should he be starting Rangers games going forward. As usual, the truth probably in the middle somewhere.
It strikes to me as if he's maybe had interest from elsewhere after the back of the second part of the season he had last year. I did think at times, especially in the back end of the part, he was Rangers' most composed player at times last season in some of the games, and you're looking at him saying there's a lot of development still to go, but you could see someone maybe having a bite on him and want to put a transfer fee in. But since he's came back, he's looked very sluggish. As I says, they're the fundamentals, being aggressive, getting tight to people when balls are coming in from crosses. Attach yourself to one of the strikers and make it difficult for them. He's not doing any of the things, and now that composed player that we've seen last year, it's now making him look very shaky, and every time the ball goes down you think there's going to be a mistake in him. That's something that Derek McInnes is going to address, but you get Godfrey who comes in, he's now injured. John Souter's obviously not in the picture, so it's hard to then drop him. I think you're going to have to stick with him.
What about the other end of the pitch, as Alan said, straight away, because they've only had two games, Lauren Shankland's club captain but doesn't start the match? That is strange to Alan, but are we making too much of that?
Yeah, probably in Shankland, I think, Gordon, because to be perfectly honest with you, Lauren Shankland will start against Hibs at the weekend. I think that's a guarantee. I'll be honest, when Rangers signed Lauren Shankland, there was probably like an element of how many European games, especially away from home, would they start? Because I think if Rangers are looking for that kind of lone striker, with the players they've got just now, it's probably more likely to be Chirmiti or Ryan Nadiri. I think Lauren Shankland has been signed with an eye to domestic football, I genuinely do. To touch on Fernandes, I can understand Alan's frustration, because he has all the raw attributes to be a very good defender at a very high level. I just don't think he has that natural instinct to sense danger, and I think that's what kind of lets him down at times, because he should be so physical, and if he is switched on, as I said, he can go at a higher level than he is right now. But that sort of lackadaisical approach, if you want to call it that, really lets him down at times, and I think you've seen that in the last two games.
Thank you, Alan. 01419511025. Ian has also dialed that number. What did you take away from it, Ian?
It was obviously a disappointing result, disappointing game. I was expecting more. The first half was shocking, really. But I've got every confidence that the manager will get it right. I think he is the right man for the job. You know, I definitely think he is. I know some people have criticised him for calling the team out last night and telling him it's not good enough kind of in public, but there's been too many times when Rangers have had managers who have accepted mediocrity and protected the players. Now, I don't know what kind of effect or what they say behind closed doors to what they say in front of the camera, but I think it's a good thing, and I think more players should be kind of called it when they're not performing. They're getting paid a lot of money, obviously, and they're there to do a job, and Rangers have failed. They've had a lot of good players who should have won the league, and they've not, just because of their attitude, and I think the attitude's got to change.
I think Derek McInnes would have known fine well the level of scrutiny he was walking into. That's, you know, that was one of the reasons perhaps that he got the job, but even last night you could see it. So you've got fans like Ian saying it's good to have a manager that calls it out, call it for what it is, tell the players publicly when they've not been good enough. And then there's a whole other set of fans on social media I've seen today saying, you know, he's a manager, he should be fixing this stuff. If he could see it last season, then, you know, why has it not been fixed? Either of those ring true for you?
I think there's a bit of both in there, Gordon. As you say, I think last night it's very hard for him to come out and defend, especially that first half performance, because, again, it's the basics of football. as a team in a team sport and an away game for Rangers, you have to defend better. Individual battles have to be far more aggressive. There are things that players have to take responsibility for first and foremost before you even talk about any tactics, and I think they let themselves down. And if you're playing at Rangers, I think you've got to be big enough to accept when your performance has been nowhere near the levels expected and demanded of you from, first of all, the coaching staff and most of all the fans, and it was nowhere near the levels expected. Where he goes from here is trying to find a shape where you get these guys in, you maybe protect yourself at the back, because any Derek McInnes team we've seen over the course of the last 10 seasons in Scotland have been built on the foundations of defending properly. The difference is now the onus is on Rangers to go and take the game to opposition, and that's where the challenge is for Derek McInnes.
Sorry, Scott, I was going to ask Ian, what gives you the confidence, Ian? Because you said you set out your stall at the start there, you think he'll get it right, this will come good. Where's the confidence come from?
Well, I granted, a lot of it has came from what he done with Hearts last season. Now, that could be a one-off, I don't know. But I think his first two games obviously haven't went the way that he wanted. But I like his attitude. I like the way that... I like what he wants out of Rangers. I like the way that he's putting himself across. And I don't like managers who come out and try and gaslight you and tell you that the game was that they played well in certain parts, and this player played well and that player played well, when everybody can see and with their eyes that it's not happening. And I think that, as I just said there, the players are big enough and ugly enough to be able to take that on the chin. If you going to be under that amount of scrutiny and you can't take a bit of criticism, whether it's in public or whatever, then you really need to have a look at yourself. But that's where I'm getting my confidence from. I mean, if we're going to take the huff with the things that he's coming out and saying, then they shouldn't be in the team. That's just the way I see it, you know. I don't think they should be anywhere near the team.
I didn't think what he said after the game was that bad, and I know sometimes referencing previous seasons and previous teams get people's back up, Gordon, but see if you compare it to what Russell Martin said at Fir Park, I think the first game of last season when he spoke.
I think the Rangers fans are trying to forget about that. Yeah, I don't think they want you to remember.
That's fair enough, but you know, it was the cryptic, there's too many egos in this team, they need to part their egos, and then it was like suddenly it was the hunt for who are the egotistical players in the Rangers team, and everybody's looking for clues the next
game.
And
then a couple were dropped the next
game.
Yeah,
and then it was like, oh, is that who they're talking about? Russell Martin wouldn't say. And yeah, all that sort of stuff. I think it's quite hard to argue with anything Derek McInnes said last night. You know, it did look like Rangers at certain points last season. I mean, if you look at the second goal in particular, where Rangers have got the ball at the edge of the opposition box. I don't know if you remember Question of Sportman, the what happened
right.
next thing.
Yeah.
But if you say to anybody, we'll stop the game here when Daniels get the ball, within 5 seconds the ball was going to be in the Rangers net. It was incredible. There was no structure or solidity.
I know you
there.
Love your tactics, so you're in that exact scenario. Who's mostly to blame for that? I've seen Dan Neil get stick for picking the pass inside rather than just giving it to Ross McCrory. Then tell Asgard, why on earth does he try and flick it in there? Who's
a Scotland flick?
Yeah, but mine's what they got there.
Who's more to blame?
Out of Asgard and Dan Neil?
And then maybe what happens after?
Well, what I'm going to say is, I think Dan Neil, when he's got to evaluate that there's a lot of bodies centrally. So once you play that square pass into Asgard, there's not much he can do apart from try and show a bit of magic to get out of trouble. He obviously goes with the flick, which is the wrong option, but I think a lot of that is on Dan Neil. That square pass, the only thing he can really do is bounce it back to you. He's got to go to Ross McCrory, but at the same time, when guys are getting paid this sort
and
of
then
money,
to be fair, once that breaks down though, you've got a long
yeah
way
but your
to
setup's
to
got
goal.
To be higher. That's where Derek McInnes can look at the setup out of possession, but while you're attacking, that is one of the things that I would question on Derek McInnes.
What's the modern terminology
for that?
I'm
not
again.
Saying
no, remind me.
No,
I know there's a phrase that covers it.
He knows the phrases.
Well.
I know exactly.
If
you enjoy an R.
Rest.
You said it, I didn't say
it. Wow. This show's plummeted. Thank you, Ian. 01419511025. It's a good time to call. Are you agreeing with what you've heard? Disagreeing? Something else to add? We'd love to hear it. And we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here. Looking back on last night in Europe, a mixed bag. Really didn't go to plan for Rangers. Still the second leg to come, and very possible that they do turn it around and go through. Motherwell fans, I'm sure you'd consider that a good draw away in Helsinki. Teemu Pukki, of all people, cancelling out Tawanda Maswanisi's penalty. Of course, it was a tough night for Hearts, as many predicted, and a win, a late win for Hibs. So if any of that tickles your fancy, we'd love to hear it. 01419511025. And we're looking ahead to the weekend as well, so lots to get our teeth stuck into. Ross is a Rangers fan. What did you make of it, Ross?
Disaster. Absolute disaster. I'm getting any words, mate.
That's going to be an issue for us in this one, Ross. We're going to need to find some. What was disastrous about it?
We've no middle, we've no midfield, we've no this, no that. Just the way Shanklin's playing and all. Just I can't, it's my first game, mate, but that was a joke, mate. Sorry. But
I was going to say it can't be Lauren Shanklin's fault, didn't play much. But I actually did. He had that chance when he came on, maybe the type that you would expect. I think I was looking to cut him some slack last night. So maybe he's just on a bit flat footed. Jim Duffy was having none of it. He said he should have stuck it away.
And that's what pressure does when you go to a team the size of Rangers and you just tense up a little bit, and the ones that you're putting in corners all last season, it just becomes a bit different when you're chasing that goal. I think a bit harsh on Shankland, obviously just coming off the bench. But I did think what you can't disagree with is the Rangers board has backed them and put money in and are trying to get players in. The creativity would be the biggest question for me. And I think you'll probably see Rangers try and get that sort of business done in the next few weeks. They have to get someone in who can eliminate someone centrally and at least open some doors, because say look at Asgard last night. We spoke about the flick a few moments ago that then leads to the goal. He was in flashes, wasn't it? It didn't really take the game from the scruff of the neck. I feel Rangers need that sort of creative player. Whether they can get that in the building or not, that will be difficult, and it's even more so when you're coming to a team who's not winning games. But that is the challenge. But it's hard. Derek McInnes has been backed, he's got signings in.
I do think as well, just try to cheer Ross up here, I do think if you're looking for any positives, I know Lauren Shankland obviously had the chance, but he was involved when Finlay Curtis hit the post, and I think Finlay Curtis in general was a bright spot for Rangers. You've been waiting for him to get his chance, and I think a couple of managers have now sort of kind of played him but then overlooked him, and then obviously went to Killie for that loan spell. But I just wonder if that performance is, or I think it should be enough to earn him a start against Hibs at the weekend, because
he doesn't,
I think,
hide, does he? He never hides.
He never hides.
He might not have a good game, but what he'll do is demand the ball and he'll try and get down the wing, put crosses in and affect the game. And I think then that's what they're screaming out for at this moment in time.
Yeah, and it's personality as well. It's the, you know, it's having the desire and the hunger to go and get on the ball and make things happen. Now, he's only 20 years old, but I think he's shown that he's got the mentality that Rangers need. Now, I'm not saying that Finlay Curtis will start every single game for Rangers going forward, but at a moment where Rangers are really crying out for wide options, I think he showed his quality again in midweek, and I'd be really surprised if he doesn't start at Ibrox on Sunday.
So, Ross, you don't sound like you're giving Rangers much chance of going through next week.
Well, the way we're sitting now, which I want to see Rangers going through next week, but I don't think it's going to happen the way we're sitting now. It's a disaster.
The reading of last night on that, Scott, is interesting, because you can kind of make the case both ways. Rangers had, I think, a chances to draw the game last night. Yeah, you add home advantage to that, another week down the line, all that sort of stuff, more minutes.
It was hot.
I don't think it's a stretch to predict that Rangers could come through it, but by the same token, the hosts probably passed up a lot of good opportunities to kill the game off. Certainly some good, got into some good areas that they didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, the one that comes off the side netting as well, you're expecting that to be a certain goal. I just can't envisage Rangers defending as poorly as they did on the counter-attacks. I think they'll see the problems that were caused when they turned over the ball high up the pitch and then they set up behind the ball. That's something that you've got a week now to fix.
Is that a worry though, because it was quite similar to United at Tannadice?
Yes, it's a worry, but when you've got Godfrey going off with 30 minutes to go and you're having to rejig the back four, and you can tell that Derek isn't happy with his back four at this moment in time. He doesn't know what the best partnerships are, and that's always a difficult part as a manager, because that is your rock, that's your foundation of how your team's going to look as the season progresses, and that's a challenge for him. And at the same time, it's a challenge on the players, because large parts of the defensive performance weren't acceptable.
Thank you very much to Ross. What about Tom on the other line? Tom, are you as doom and gloom as that, or have you found a bit more room for optimism?
Good evening, panel. A great show. Glad to hear you guys are back. It's wonderful to hear it. And can I pass on my best wishes to you?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll say they've been checking in on him this week. He's getting stronger every day, he says. So he'll be back torturing us very soon, I suspect. He'll be listening. I'll need to get him on the phone at some point. When he's well enough, I'll get him. Imagine it, Hugh and Bears Den. It's our first Den caller tonight.
Big opinions. Imagine the opinions.
He'll slaughter us. Anyway, Tom, sorry, take it away.
I'm optimistic. I've watched Derek over the years. I used to take my son to Capel and watch when he was playing at Capel. I think it's early doors. I cannot believe since the weekend, the Dundee United game, the amount of, you know, people are so down on him, you know. I think it's early doors. There's a lot of new players in, you know, and it will take a wee while to settle, you know. It's only the second game. Friendly games are fine, but you know, you're into the real stuff now, and I'm sure they'll learn, you know, when you look at the likes of Fernandez. And I was saying to the producer, Chris, that one of my only major concern at this moment in time, you know, see the goalkeeper. I let you think what the panel think. The goalkeeper, the amount of times, you know, I look at Butland made a few horrendous areas, and a goalkeeper will always be highlighted more than a player, you know, a defender or a midfield player. Goalkeeper, you know, he pushed into the 6-yard box, you know, and rather than catch some, I thought he could have caught a couple of the shots just last night. I push it around for a corner kick, you know, just to think of the panel. I'm not convinced by the goalkeeper. You know, that is one of my main concerns at this moment in time. But I'm fairly confident we will get through it. On last night's second half, after Derek made the substitutions, what a difference, you know, because what I've seen, I thought they played very well.
Yeah, I think, Tom, for me, looking at the goalkeeper, I did feel it was a position where Rangers had to strengthen after Jack Butland, some of the performances last year. I did feel that was a part of Rangers' performance where he was letting them down at times, whether that was on the ball. Yes, there was some mistakes in there. As much as there was some good saves, I just felt they needed someone different there if they were going to change how they played. The problem you've had is they've still been going quite direct at times and don't really build from the back, so it's hard to really see all the qualities in the new goalkeeper. I do believe there's a good goalie in there. I think it's hard for me to say whether he could catch it or tip it round the post or not. I've never played in goals, but I do think he's got attributes that I think will lead him to be a good Rangers goalkeeper.
I can understand some of the criticism. I don't think there's been glaring errors, Gordon, in the first two games, but I think there was a subtle question marks over the goal at Tannadice, and again last night there was a couple. I agree with Tom that you do wonder whether he
could. It's not a big sample, is it? So you end up really honing in on, you know, maybe a slightly under par effort at a save here and there, and then that forms your entire judgment.
Yeah, and even last night, there was a couple you think could he have caught it or tipped it around the post, as Tom said. I think it's far too early to judge him, far too early to judge him. And it's far too early to judge this Rangers team as well. I know they will be judged, but, you know, two things can be right. You can give criticism, give opinions, but also say it's time to calm down slightly. It's only two games in. Give it Derek McInnes and these players time to gel. But it's Rangers, it's Ibrox, you don't get that time. But I wouldn't be going too hard on Ivor Panda right now.
Tom, would you start Finlay Curtis at the weekend and maybe in a prolonged sense going forward? Was he one of the positives?
I think he's, since that boy went to Kilmarnock, I think he's been, you know, he's improved vastly. And to me, I would start the boy in the starting 11, because even when Raskin came on last night, it changed the whole game, you know, because that's where we seem to be losing the kind of midfield, I would say, in the first half. And I used to, when Barry Ferguson and people like that were there, we always had a good engine room and a very solid back four. The back four at the moment, you know, just get to know each other. But I think Derek will build that, you know, the back four and the engine room, you know. But we're kind of overflowing in the midfield when you think of your Conor Barney and Diamondi, Raskin, you know, and the new ones that's come in as well. So I'm not so The boy for Sunderland, okay, he's only there, so it's hard to judge that as well, you know. So, but when you look at the bench nowadays, as I passed it 2 seasons ago, you look at the bench and you say, well, who can you bring on? You look at that bench now and you go, well, take your pick. You know, that's the good thing as well. They're strengthened in various areas. And I think the boy Nedry, even Jermiti, I think they're all going to come good. And it's probably one of the youngest teams as Rangers, if you look back over the seasons that we've had in a long time, because a lot of these players are still young and still learning, as Scott would say. You know, a lot of these players, I'm sure Scott would like it at East Kilbride, some of them at East Kilbride, and people like that, you know. I think it's early days, but I'm convinced we'll win. I would think probably maybe 3-1 next week.
Yeah, we'll find out. The makeup of the squad is interesting, because... So Raskin's back, he came on. I've seen lots of Rangers fans along the lines of, you know, he still showed he was the best midfielder, got to play him. If he is staying, why on earth are there so many central midfield players? And if he's staying, who's leaving? You know, surely you're not trying to carry that number.
And that's what I would say. Rangers have actually spent money and brought players in before they've actually looked at the player sales, I think. With Nico Raskin, who had a good World Cup, and obviously get back to Auchinhowie a lot later than other players, he then features last night and he does all the things that Nico Raskin does. Lots of energy coming on to try and affect the game, which the benchmark wasn't high coming on in that second half in the middle of the park yesterday. But you would expect Rangers to demand a good transfer fee for him come the end of the window. I don't envisage him still being a Rangers player at the end of August.
Also, that doesn't help though. We're talking about connections. If Nico Raskin is going to get out the door in a couple of weeks, but he has to play just now because Declan Kinnis has to win games and has to get all that. In terms of squad building, you know, some Rangers have got probably about a team full of midfielders. They're obviously trying to get wingers now. They've got a good few strikers.
On the wingers, I was going to say Daisuke Yokota. It's 40 minutes into the show. It's a winger that's been signed, made his debut. We've not really mentioned him because it feels like. What can you learn? You know, it was a half of football. He was just in. Wouldn't have known his teammates' names.
The one day training.
Had barely played as well. He's not got a lot of minutes. Derek McKinnon said, "Is there anything?"
The only question mark is why he started the game.
I was really surprised.
But again, is that desperation for?
Well, that's
balance.
Interview. That was the interview after the Dundee United game when he spoke about the importance of the wide players and he needed both from them, and that's why he probably feels it's right. Can we throw him in and maybe get an instant impact? But on the night, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, and. Look, I think he did okay without being exceptional, but Gordon, as you said, I don't think he'd even really trained fully with Hanover in the last couple of weeks just because he was edging towards an exit. But just as I was going to say, I think I'm in the minority, but I still think Rangers need a centre-half, and I still think they need a really good centre-half. I mean, they're obviously McCanny to come in, but to me, if John Souter's going to go out, I think Rangers need a proper leader in there, a guy to, you know, just help Fernandes and Ben Godfrey.
Is he meant to be that guy though, Godfrey? Is that the idea?
I think that is the idea, but I think you know, recent evidence will suggest that I don't know if he's going to play 60 games a season, and I think that's what Rangers need. They need a leader in the central defence, and I think Derek McInnes would want a leader. I think if you look at his teams over the years, he's had that. Maybe it will be Ben Godfrey, and you know, it was obviously really, really bad luck for him to get injured in his debut up at Tannadice, but I just think that's a core area of the team that Rangers need to improve.
Some interesting points made by Tom, but we'll let him go. That dog's desperate to get let out. That dog is to get over here, open that door. So we'll need to let that be sorted before Tom's got an issue on his kitchen floor. Right, before we go any further, let me tell you about the big Scottish Golf Day coming up. You could win the ultimate VIP golfing getaway and you help cash for kids at the same time. So listen to this for a win-win situation. It's at the Carrick, Friday the 21st of August. Now, your team of four gets chauffeur-driven to the course by JJS Executive Travel. Breakfast, a four-ball at the Carrick, beer and a pie at the halfway house, a barbecue lunch, and then a Q&A with some of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pundits as well. We then sort you out, as if that's not enough, with an overnight stay at Cameron House at Loch Lomond and the luxury travel home the following day. Now, that sounds like an unbelievable prize under any circumstances, but it gets even better because all you need to do is text GOLF to 84901 and that makes a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. Now, the text costs one standard message plus your £5 donation. The donation gets taken within the 60 minutes and you can cancel if you don't want to donate by replying cancel. Of course, we would rather he didn't. It's over 18s only. You must ask the bill payer's permission, and the T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. But ultimately, a fiver to charity, overnight at Cameron House, golf, chauffeur driven, food, pundit Q&A, the lot. So lines close 8 p.m. Wednesday the 12th of August. Text golf to 84901 and we'll take more of your calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and David Friel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. That is the number that you need, so why not give us a call? Let us know what you're thinking after last night. I'm sure this is just kind of accidental. I don't think there's necessarily anything in it, but last night, full time whistle, we get loads of rage and real frustration. It feels like tonight everyone's a bit calmer, you know. I don't know if that's the passing of time, or like I say, just a coincidence, a more analytical look, or a more you know, like I say, a more calm outlook on what's to come.
There's always the instant fury. I think, you know, people sleep on it and they maybe see things a bit more rationally. As I said, look, criticism, all the opinions are more than valid. I do think it's a bit early to go too far, but I would revisit that maybe in Sunday afternoon, depending on the score.
That is the problem. Right? We can all say, because of course it's early. It's the 7th of August. Rangers have played twice. But if this scenario is added to by a failure to beat Hibs at the weekend, then what do you do, Scott Allen? I'm trying my best to keep talking so you can finish that chocolate bar. But we all know that your blood sugars need to be looked after, so I won't make light of it. Are you okay?
Yeah,
you're still
well,
with
good.
Us.
Yeah,
good.
Well.
Right.
What roses did you go for? Hold on.
Oh, wait, I had to nip into
choosing Jones. The toffee one was outrageous, though, when you knew you were coming back on.
It wasn't the toffee.
I'm joking. I'm talking about how long you're chewing.
I went for an orange and a strawberry dream. No, listen, I think there's no going away. If performance levels and certainly defensively Rangers aren't better, then questions will be asked again until the first win comes. I think at this moment in time, looking at that game, and I've seen a lot of Hibs over the last few weeks as well, they aren't free flowing, they aren't flying. There's opportunities there for Rangers to cause Hibs lots of problems. But when I look at David Gray, when David Gray needs a performance, he has produced them over the last few seasons. So it does present a difficult task for Rangers, just purely based on what we've seen over the last four halves. And that's the way to look at it, because there's been such a change in whether it's personnel and how the team's looked over the course of the two games, that it's very hard to predict us how this is going to be. Hibs are obviously off the back of a win. Owen Eldon is their danger man. Rangers now need to have someone who can take the game by the scruff of the neck and go and create.
Let's hear from the Celtic camp. Sean Maloney was on media duties today. Of course, Martin O'Neill is recovering well, according to his assistant, after a small procedure in hospital, but adds there is no timeline for his return.
Yeah, I went to see him last night, so he's that was really positive. He got out of hospital yesterday. So yeah, he was in good form last night. Loads better than he was Monday, Tuesday. And yeah, hopefully that sort of positive feelings that he has continues, yeah. But he was in good form. No timeline. So even for the game at the weekend, it's sort of day-to-day. We saw him last night with regards to the preparation for the game. So he wasn't in today. I'll speak to him this afternoon, and then he'll make a call for tomorrow, and then I'd imagine he'll make the call for the game at the weekend. But if it's this weekend, great. If it isn't, then we'll prepare for it without him. But we'll see. We'll let him make the call, and he'll definitely do that.
David Friel, you were there today, working as was I. I kind of repeating this point throughout the week. There's not much more to be added there. No. We wish Martin O'Neill well. I don't know. Think it requires any analysis. He might be in the dugout at the weekend. He might not. But it sounds like it's been kind of business as usual. I think we all know that it's not necessarily a managerial role that has a lot of hands-on training ground time anyway.
No, exactly. It was great to speak to Sean today, and the first thing he said was basically it was positive, and Martin was out of hospital. As you say, we wish him all the best, and you know, by the sounds of it, he is feeling a lot better. People speaking to people up there today saying he's in very good spirits, and you know, I wouldn't rule him out being at Rugby Park at the weekend, to be honest with you, Gordon. I think Martin O'Neill will want to be there if the doctors let him. But as you say, the day-to-day running of the training sessions and everything else around Lennox Town is basically run by Sean Maloney, Mark Fotheringham and Steve McManus anyway, and Stevie Woods, a goalkeeping coach. So yeah, obviously Martin O'Neill oversees everything, but I don't think the preparations in any sense will be affected by it, and it would just be a bonus for those Celtic players if he can make the game.
Jamie's a Celtic fan on the line. Jamie, your European games haven't kicked in yet. Kilmarnock away at the weekend, transfer window still open. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, I actually think that the Kamaro game, I think we're going to do quite well at that. But the next game, I think we're really need to strengthen our team in multiple positions.
Which ones stick out for you at the moment?
So, I'd probably say a winger is really needed. Could probably be doing another goalkeeper. A centre mid is really something I think we really need.
What kind of midfielder?
Well, Ingles might leave.
Going to control the game, essentially. Well, I don't think Ingles has done much at his Celtic spell, so it's not a big loss, to be honest. Take the money and run.
David, I think there was a sort of a real effort, if that's the right phrase, from Sean Maloney to point out today. He kept saying transfers.
Yeah.
Martin O'Neill, Michael Nicholson. Don't ask me. So remember in the last window, it was reported that he'd quite a hands-on role and so on. What he did say, though, there was no update. He didn't expect anyone in, certainly by the weekend. And then in the other hand, Arne Ingles, Alistair Johnson still here, good attitude. But I mean, I think everyone expects them to leave and then the Celtic go and look to do more.
I think they'll try and get a winger in before anybody leaves. I think they're obviously looking at Haysem Hassan, who I see has been left out of the Real Oviedo squad for a friendly tomorrow. So I think that's as close as it can be. I mean, speaking to people yesterday after the story came out in Spain, it was very much, look, it's not done yet, but it's heading in the right direction in terms of the overall package and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, as a seasoned Celtic watcher, it was interesting to see what Sean said about the transfers, because I think he was getting a lot of responsibility in January, or publicly was given a lot of responsibility. But he says it's all been down to Martin O'Neill and Michael Nicholson in terms of the deals. He'll give his opinion if asked. But
I like how it's called responsibility until it becomes blame. That's the two ways of looking at it.
Well, I think because of how the January window turned out, then with guys like Joel Mavuka and others, I think Sean has given that over, and Celtic have got more recruitment people in to do that job. So yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't expect anybody else in the short term. I don't think there'll be anybody in before the weekend, certainly. In terms of outs, you know, as I said last week, after the Arne Ingles and Alistair Johnson stuff really cranked up, I don't think Celtic can afford to sell them before this Champions League playoff anyway.
And that's it, because there's two sort of categories you could separate Celtic's transfers into, Scott. Jamie says, you know, we probably need another goalkeeper. Like, they definitely need another. Like, Casper. Yeah. The last year, Casper Schmeichel was there alongside Sinisalo. He's now not. So whether it's a number one, a number two, somewhere in the middle, they need another goalkeeper. Like, unequivocally.
Yeah, that's,
same
that's
for left given. Back. Yep. You know, there is no debate there. On a pure numbers basis, if Alistair Johnston and Arne Ingles go, they absolutely have to be replaced. That's four players before you think about upgrading in other areas. So yes, still loads of time to go, but you know, the weeks and the days, they'll tick away.
Yeah, I think looking at that qualifier, that's the game where that next week they have to.
Well,
have
that's
some,
true. Yeah, that's
they
true.
Have to have some business and I don't know if they will or not. Goalkeeper, yes, as you say, is Gordon. It's a must. Left back, Johnson goes, then you need to get a right back that's going to come in who's had a good pre-season and is fit and can come right in it, because there's some big games already for Celtic. Ingles, for me, I said last week, didn't I, that I would take the money for him. I think he's a player that, yes, he's got good deliveries and he's scored a lot of penalties. I don't think he affects games for the kind of money that Celtic are demanding for him. If they get it, it's fantastic business. I think he's one they can replace. And then you look in the wide areas. That was the question mark for me on Monday. As much as Dundee, I felt set up was excellent man for man, and it caused Celtic a bit of frustration throughout the game. Having Duran on the wing, that you didn't see his best attributes, and that's the question mark. How can they fit the two of them in the team, between him and Casper, who, but the team still functions well and creates, that's the question mark tactically for Celtic.
Jamie, thank you very much. I'm sure we'll talk Celtic more as the show goes on, but in the meantime, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Scott Allen or David Friel, one of them will be there to be taken advantage of, and hopefully for you, win a sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin. What you must do though is call us before 7 o'clock, 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and David Friel are here looking back on last night's European exploits. We've done a fair bit on Rangers. Keep the calls coming there. What about you, Motherwell, Hibs, Hearts fans? How are you feeling about all mixed results for those three teams? We've got the weekend games coming up as well, so get the calls in before 8 o'clock and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see how we will end the week. Jim Duffy, I think it was, played last night, a 3-2. You won 5-1 last week, David Field. Convincing. Scott, you're waiting for your season's debut.
Questions were kind last week.
One of you will take on Liam in Pollock. How's it going, Liam?
Not bad, mate. How are you?
Not bad. Have you ever done this before?
No.
Good, right, okay. David Fields, are you still undefeated at this, actually?
No, I lost in a tiebreak.
Oh, did you?
Final game of last season.
Ah, right, okay. The blue side of the coin will be David Friel. The red side will be Scott Allen. And let's see who it lands on. Red for Scott Allen up against Liam in Pollock. So, Liam, we're going to give him something else to listen to so he can't check in on your answers, obviously. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay?
No bother.
Right, 30 seconds then on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Sean Maloney play for between his two Celtic spells?
Pass.
Name any outfield player who's played the full 90 minutes in both Rangers games this season.
Pass.
How many goals did Scottish teams score in Europe last night?
Three.
Who's Lyndon Dykes just signed for?
Pass.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership? In what decade was Rangers' last domestic treble?
90s.
Who defeated Celtic in the 1970 European Cup final?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Scott Allen. Can you hear us? You ready? Same
yes.
Set of questions. 30 seconds. Don't bother flicking through for your league table. I'm not interested in what you're
leaving there.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who did Sean Maloney play for in between his two Celtic spells?
Aston Villa.
Name
thinking.
Any outfield player who played all 90 minutes in both Rangers games this season.
Pandev.
How many goals did Scottish teams score in Europe last night?
Five.
Who's Lyndon Dykes just signed
Melville.
For?
Melville.
Who's bottom of the Scottish Premiership?
Falkirk.
In what decade was Rangers' last domestic treble?
In noughties.
Okay. Liam, how do you think it went?
Terrible.
Do you know what Liam's performance on Beat the Pundit reminded me of?
What?
Jens Bertolascu. Pass, 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 pass. Honestly.
Like that.
Jens Ball. I've been missing it. I don't know if it was a good strategy, Liam. We'll need to find out. Sean Maloney, in between his two Celtic spells, played for Aston Villa. I think you're lucky there.
First answer.
I know exactly. You went Aston Villa, Wigan, and then I take your first answer. You've accidentally got that.
It was
right.
A joint answer, wasn't it?
Wigan was after, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you're right.
Is that right? Yeah. So
I confuse myself with that. You can overthink the one sometimes.
Aston Villa, well
give
done.
Give me the range.
1-0. Name any outfield player. The clue was in the question.
No.
Name any outfield player who played 90 minutes. The thing is, you had the choice of loads. Romans, Sterling, Fernandez, Diomande.
Pass.
You went for the goalie, who's famously not outfield. But Liam was passing. He was passing you off the park at this point, so it wasn't getting any better for him. And then Liam, even your arithmetic let you down. 2 for Hibs, 1 for Rangers, Hearts and Motherwell adds up to 5. Scott Allen goes 2-0 in front. Lyndon Dykes has just joined Millwall. He's still going pretty well. He's still getting the clubs, isn't he?
Good agent.
He keeps getting linked to the I keep waiting on him eventually rocking up at Hibs. He's been linked there a few times, hasn't he? But Millwall, not a bad move at all for Lyndon Dykes. 3-0 Scott Allen. It became 4-0 because Liam, this kind of summed up your night, because to be fair, the league table means nothing after one game. It's very hard to tell, but you've literally picked a team that are top in St Mirren when I was looking for the, when I was looking for the team that are bottom. Rangers' last treble was in the noughties.
Yes.
Liam, you know what's coming, don't you?
Terrible.
Oh, it's a terrible donut. I'm always nice. I'm generous to the pundits, to the listeners, not the pundits. I don't want them to make it zeros. And I raced to squeeze another question in, which was who beat Celtic in the 1970 European Cup final. But Liam laid that one off as well. It was fire org. So Liam, I'm afraid, look, I don't know if this makes you feel any better that you've made history, the first donut of the new season.
Oh, amazing. So.
What did it finish?
Do you know what I was going to do that,
granny.
But
5-0.
I learned my lesson, because I was going to just quickly keep going there to see if we could give Liam a correct answer. But last time I did that, the caller just got them all wrong anyway, and it totally backfired on me, and he hung up the guy, and it's made it so much worse. So we'll call it a friendly donut, we'll shake hands, we'll congratulate Scott Allen, and we'll move on quickly. Liam, who's your team?
Celtic.
What are you thinking about the season so far, transfers and all that?
Still hard to tell, but there's still plenty of time to add to the squad. You guys have spoken about the likes of Engels and Alistair Johnson. My particular replacement for Johnson would have been the boy from Bournemouth that we had at the time.
Aroko, he's got surgery, yeah, didn't he, David?
Yeah, exactly.
For 3 months.
So, but again, you can't judge anything at the moment with any certain players. If they want to go, they'll go, regardless of the values.
Yeah, I don't hold it against Celtic, because it's fine, every club can keep their cards close to their chest. I'd love to know what that process looks like, especially if it's a foregone conclusion. Or do you know what? See, even if it's not, you must have known that there would be interest in Alistair Johnson. So I just wonder what the list looks like. Was Aroko top of it? Because he's been before, you could probably get him back. Mm-hmm. He's tried and tested up to a point. He's presumably not top of it anymore because he's injured. So what does it look like? What does the succession planning for Alistair Johnson look like?
Well, as you say, a functioning recruitment department and club should have a list. Martin O'Neill, we spoke to him last Friday, and he said with every passing World Cup performance from Alistair Johnson off the back of his end to the season last year, he knew there was going to be interest. It does not come as a surprise to him. I think Julian Araujo would have been probably top of the list for Celtic. I think it would have been one that they could have probably got done, would have suited everybody. But that's not going to happen now. I mean, I don't think you'll see him maybe to November, December. So they'll have to have someone as a contingency, but there's not been any chat on that. It remains to be seen whether Everton are also going to hit Celtic's valuation of Alistair Johnson, which I would imagine would be pretty high. But I'll reiterate, I don't think Celtic can afford to sell him before this playoff anyway.
Yeah, I always remember when I first joined Celtic years ago, and Van Dijk was there up until we lost in Malmo. And as soon as that game was over, he was gone. That was always the plan. So you'd imagine Celtic aren't in a position to allow Alistair Johnson to go just now. There's too much at stake, especially with that Champions League qualifier. And for me, I think he would like to come through that, obviously get a windfall, and then they'll look to strengthen. But at the same time, there has to be more.
I'd forgotten about that. So was that the timeline of that? Because I remember Van Dijk agitating, if that's the right phrase. So he stayed for the Champions League game against Malmo.
Yeah. We didn't qualify, and then he left and went to Southampton. So I think at the same time, though, I think you have to have a list of targets for that position. It can't be relying on Araujo, who came in loan last year. I still think Celtic would be looking to maybe get a better version of that.
So you don't even think he would have filled the boots?
Yeah, I think he would have done a job, but I think Celtic have got to look for a slightly better, in my opinion.
I think he was a good player. I think he did well. I think the hype was maybe a bit too much. My point would be, though, that if he came in and he hit the ground running and get a bit more time, I think he could. I'm not saying he's as good as Alistair Johnson, but I think he's as able a deputy or a replacement as you're going to get at very short notice. But you've got to think Celtic have contingencies. I do think they've got contingencies for Arne Engels. Giannetis at Torino is one that they really like, and that I think they would move for if Engels goes. But right back is it's a big position for Celtic. You know, the fullbacks, there's so much onus on them to get on the ball, to attack, to combine with potentially a new winger as well.
They looked a completely different attacking threat when Alistair Johnson came back, purely because of the energy and the willingness to get forward. You actually seen them linking up. The other two, who Coley Donovan and Tony Ralston, don't give you that same sort of attacking outlet for me.
One of my favourite calls last night, just because of the kind of backstory as to how it came about. It was a girl from Canada called in. Her partner was from Coatbridge, and all of a sudden she's just become interested in Scottish football and starts phoning in Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Like a mad world out there. But Liam, she was biased. She asked the question because she's Canadian. She thought Alistair Johnson would be the bigger loss out of those two. Would you go along with that, or would it be Engels?
I don't know. I don't think that Engels is his full potentials just towards the end of last season, especially with Johnson being out as well. It's hard for
to compare the two of them, because the two of them are at totally different stages of their career. If both of them want to stay, at the end of the day, it's whether do they wear the hearts on their sleeves and go, or do they do show.
If you'd want to pick your starting team on Sunday and you were getting held to ransom, who are you picking in your team? Johnson or Ingles?
Johnson.
Scott would pick Ingles.
What have you got against Arne Ingles?
I haven't got anything against him. He's not for me.
That sounds like you've got something against him.
It's not just that, it's a game of opinion. Some people enjoy people on the
ice. This guy's going to move to a big London club for 20 odd million.
20 million pounds.
Must be a talent.
Great bit of business.
To be fair, I don't think this would ever be in doubt. Sean Maloney was quite expansive today on how good they've been, if you know what I mean. It's still staying and having the right attitude and so on, because it's not always the case.
No, it's not, but I think it's always good when Alistair Johnson comes in to speak to us, Gordon, because
I'll miss him. I'll miss him in the media front if he goes.
He's always entertaining, he communicates well, so you can just imagine what he's like in a changing room, and you've seen him on the pitch. Arne Ingles, you know, has lived this life since January. I mean, bear in mind, Nottingham Forest were trying to get him on the final day of the transfer window for £25 million. So he's been living with this interest, as Scott shakes his head here. He's been living with this interest for a long time now, and I don't think his performances have dipped at all. I'm probably somewhere in the middle with Arne Ingles. I don't think he's as bad as some people make out. I also don't think he's maybe as good as some people make out, but I think he gives Celtic a presence in there. I think he gives them some legs in there. He's obviously got the set pieces, all that as well. But I also would take them.
What are you laughing at? Think that's bare minimum?
That's just opinion. It depends what you like in there. I just think for that sort of money, I would want him having real impacts in games and a lot of big games.
For the balance of what Celtic have at the moment, though, then is it?
Yeah,
because you take his athleticism out that midfield that maybe, as you've said, maybe isn't functioning the way that it used to anyway. You take his athleticism out, is there maybe even more of an issue?
Yeah, but I don't see why. When it comes to athleticism, I think so. If it's down to just athleticism and not about individual ability and actually going and taking games with the scruff of the neck and demanding the ball, which I don't think he receives the ball, he's back to go well at all for the money that's getting. When I compare him to like Tom Rogic, who is for me miles ahead of him as a technical footballer playing in that position, if it's just about legs and energy, then Celtic should have 5-6 of them in their academy coming through. It could come in and run about and show legs
I'm saying it's not just about, when they say that, it's not just about trying to run though, is it? It's not like
you've got that athletic profile of covering the ground, that's fair, it depends what you like, did you not notice it
when it wasn't there last season? You know,
I actually think, to elaborate
on what I said there, at a time when Rio Hatate's now for a multitude of reasons not an option either.
Yeah, and you've had Rio Hatate. If you take the other night, for example, Paulo Bernardo has been moved on, Hatate on the bench, Oxlade-Chamberlain on the bench, Luke McCown on the bench, Arne Ingles is picked by Martin O'Neill and Sean Maloney over all of them.
Freeze legs.
But that is a big part of it. Because if you look at the impact both him and Alistair Johnson had in the final seven games or the final five games of last season, everybody talks about Daizen Maeda and Kelechi Iheanacho, but I think the return of both of them from injury was just as important. And there must be a reason why big clubs, both in England and abroad, want to sign Arne Ingles and are ready to pay around about £20 million.
And more than one of them. It's not like you've just found one random club that's got a soft spot. Anyway, thank you very much to Liam on the line. Forget Casper Hu or Camilo Duran or the goalkeeper that Scott Allen thought played outfield or any of the big debutants so far. The biggest debut of the season comes on Sunday at Rugby Park, and it is the pitch. It's now made out of grass. The Astro is gone. Simon is a Kilmarnock fan. You must be buzzing with excitement, Simon.
Yeah. Hi, guys. How you doing? Listen, it's not going to be any surprise to come on the fan to let you know I didn't think the plastic pitch was as bad as people made it. I think one of the biggest issues was visually, and the fact that most people saw it when we were playing Rangers or Celtic at midday and the sun
playing on it.
Yeah, I am sorry for your knees.
My feet.
But I was down, had a half day today, went down to pick up the new third kit and managed to wangle my way to have a wee look at the pitch. It looks amazing. The blue around it looks great as well. Reading that they've made it to like high standard as well, so it can be played international football and rugby on it, which I wonder if we'll maybe make a wee bit of money from maybe Glasgow Warriors or someone playing on there.
You had that before. There was a Scotland game there, wasn't there, a few years ago? Is that right, Simon? I remember that.
Yeah, Scotland played a rugby game there, but I think somebody was saying their crowds have gone big up now, like even 40,000 at friendlies, so it's probably not going to happen with the men's team. But yeah, I was reading that, you know, there's only a handful of clubs in the world who have this pitch, and we're now alongside Chelsea, Aston Villa, Real Madrid, and that SoFi Stadium, the most expensive stadium in the world in Los Angeles. So, good company. We've not shrunk on the, you know, on the cost of it. Credit has to go to Billy Bowie, obviously. When he took over, he promised that he would build us a training ground. Yeah. He's done that. You know, the first stage is done. I believe the building work starts soon for the, you know, the sort of gym, canteen, media area. So that's going to be amazing. The pitch looks incredible. You know, it's literally the best pitch in the country. There's going to be no questions about that. And yeah, just looking forward to seeing my team back at Rugby Park, because it's been a long summer. Don't even get the cup games or anything. So yeah, just buzzing to get back down to Kilmarnock on Sunday.
I told you I was down there doing a bit on it for Sky. So see if there's anything you want. See if you're struggling to sleep tonight. Play this bit back. 5,000 tonnes of sand and topsoil has been added. The pitch has been raised by almost 300 mil. Simon's right. Three World Cup venues, Real Madrid, Aston Villa, Chelsea, use the same stitch system.
Stitch system.
That's
what's in rest defence.
I was doing the old down on the yeah. honkers, like pulling it, you know. Is it like checking out the root system?
Were you buying into it though? And complimenting it?
Absolutely. I was all over it. It was.
I feel like I'm sitting next to Charlie Dimmock. Remember her? One of the gardening programs.
Simon's right. They've added the blue AstroTurf around, which is a longer pile than you would normally get on a football pitch, so that you can then use it for rugby. That would be the runoff area. If they were gonna. I've got more, no? Have I just turned? Have the listening figures?
So aesthetically pleasing, it's looking
now. The listening figures just dropped by 80%.
Yeah, back to the football.
But there you go. And El Shineno, I'm your man. Drainage, and I was looking at my back garden.
Will you be there for its debut?
Because I get a new garden in the summer, yeah, and I'm looking at the grass, thinking that still needs an upgrade now. After that,
The stitch system
is the same. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I've got one. It's 95% grass, 5% astro. Yeah. There you go. The fibres are woven in. That's the bit that gives you the durability. You know when you get the slide tackle, you don't see the same big scars that you used to get. Can you play on it, Simon? That's going to be the real question.
Probably not, no. I was up in Perth on Sunday. It was a bit of a mental game. I think you were there as well. Mm-hmm. Defensively, we were all over the place. My positives are that I think only one of that defence, when everyone's fit and available, you know, Dees is suspended at the moment. We've brought in new guys in. I think only one of that defence will play whenever Dees there. Michael Schoen and Larson will be the only one. I think Dees will come in. Efeko looks like Stanger might be going to Burton Albion. Hopefully not before the weekend, because we need him for the game. And there's talk about certain players coming in, potentially Scotland international from Hibs on loan, potentially, is the latest rumour that's been going around, which would be fantastic. But yeah, I think hopefully all week we've been working on the defence, because that's the important bit. We can score goals. I said to yourself on the big preview last weekend that you were doing, that my worry was we were going to win or lose every game 4-3. It happened on Sunday. I don't think we can afford to do that against Celtic. However, before, I would have been more concerned if it was, say, Ange Postecoglou or Brendan Rodgers style coming on that pitch. I think Celtic are more under Martin O'Neill. They're happier to maybe go long, happier to get crosses into the box. That might benefit us a little bit more, because we're a football team. We want to get the ball down on the deck. We'll play in Joe Hugo in behind, who's got a lot of pace. I fancy him going up against Carter Vickers and Austin Trusty. I think he might have a successful game. But yeah, it's all going to be if we can just keep it quiet at the back.
Who was your signing rumour there? You got Scott Allen's attention. What was it, from Hibs?
Oh, well, the rumour is today, Grant Hanley.
That's the one I thought you meant.
Who's obviously, Hibs are expecting a new signing coming in defence as well. He's not been playing behind the horror, and obviously Rocky Bashiri's coming back, and he's signed Jason Kerr, so he'll be down the pecking order.
Bashiri's going to miss the full season, I think.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is that bad? Yeah, look, it's funny, because Simon, it's not the prediction he'll be happy to have gotten right, but someone else did say as well, I can't remember who it was, to me, when I went up to the game at Perth, that this will be high scoring because both defences are. And I thought, no offence to both teams, but I did not have St Johnstone and Kilmarnock down for a classic. But sometimes leaky defences can do that for you.
It was a great game.
What about the Celtic challenge? Because Simon's gone for the, I'm paraphrasing, but that they don't have the same fear factor as Ange Postecoglou did, or maybe Brendan Rodgers. I think we saw with Dundee, credit to them. Maybe teams are a bit more willing to go and press Celtic. I don't know if Kilmarnock will do that the weekend.
No, it's a totally different game. I was really impressed with Dundee and how they tried to stop Celtic building out and stuff like that. But what I would say is, I think Martin Neil's comments after the game, and even Sean Maloney today, it'll be interesting to see what Celtic do with Casper Hu and Duran this time, because I don't think it really worked. No. Gordon playing Duran out wide right, and I just wonder whether Celtic will tweak things to get both of them through the middle. That might mean someone like Negrin has to be sacrificed, which might be controversial, but I just look at it and I do wonder. I don't think Martin was happy with how that sort of kind of linked up, especially in the first half. I just wonder where they'll go a bit more direct.
Does it suit Celtic more, as people would say, about, you know, the grass rather than the Astro? What percentage of Kilmarnock's total points did they pick up at home in the last four seasons since they've been back?
A lot.
69. It's pretty high.
Yeah, 69. No, I think the grass suits Celtic, just because any player, when you turn up to Rugby Park over the course of the last 10 seasons, it's always in the back of your mind.
Because Daniel McCann, Kilmarnock side, in theory, different. Would look to play, I more think, anyway, wouldn't
they? I'd be very surprised if Neil didn't go out and be aggressive and look to some of the things that you've seen that Stephen Presley done, and where he's done D-team, very aggressive.
Simon, thank you very much. I'm still looking at you, Hearts fans. How do you feel about last night? How do you sum that up? Is it just a total mismatch from the beginning? You don't have any sort of criticism, you enjoyed your moment, you enjoyed your goal, and you move on? Or does it still add to the difficult start to the new era at Hearts, that 6-1 defeat? Motherwell fans, maybe you'll be back from Helsinki now, wouldn't mind hearing from you, and we'll do all that when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and David Friel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's not just the Europa League or the Conference League or the Premiership this weekend. What about the Championship? We love the Friday night games. Of course, we've got our vested interest in Partick Thistle. Mark Wilson, Alex Ray, Tony Watt. They're at home to Livingston tonight, and that is an absolute cracker for game week two in the Championship on a Friday on the telly.
Game week two, but can we say it's a promotion clash? Is that allowed? I think they both have to accept it.
Well, Livy have just, you know, Livy obviously been up and down, so they have to accept that tag. And Thistle are victims of their own success last season. I know they still don't have loads of cash to splash around, but they'd have to accept it. What they did last year puts them in that bracket.
Yeah,
surely.
Well, I don't know about you, Scott, but I tipped them to win the league. I think Mark's done, I know we have a bit of fun, but I think he's done a brilliant job alongside Alex. Good team, good players, and this should be a really, really good game. As you say, it's good to have the Championship football back on a Friday night.
Let's give his goals.
I've got a teaser for you too.
I've watched a few of these on a Friday. No draws.
Let's do the teaser.
Let's go.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Come on then, I like the look of this a lot, and it's a big thanks to Alex and Irvin who has sent it in. A special mention as always to our sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow, and as usual, the plea from us to you to keep the questions coming. That's what we enjoy at this time of the show. We test the pundits' knowledge at coming up with the answers to your questions. So let's see how you go tonight. Can you name the six Scottish players who've made the most appearances in the English Premier League for at least three teams? That wee caveat shakes it up. So six Scottish players have made the most appearances in the English Premier League, but for at least three teams.
Duncan Ferguson.
No, because he's not played for three teams, has he?
Kevin Gallagher.
Not enough appearances.
Robert Snodgrass.
No. Probably not enough appearances, I would imagine. But
how far back are we going here, Gordon?
Yeah, I mean, I could. It's a bit of a spread. There's none that are that recent, I wouldn't say.
That's difficult.
That is difficult.
Snodgrass is not even in the top 25 appearances.
I'm
actually
surprised at that. Yeah. Gary McAllister.
Yes. Leeds, Coventry, Liverpool. 325 English Premier League appearances. Good question, isn't it?
It's a very good
really
question.
Really good. Because, I mean, obviously, it's not like there's any names you've not heard of, given what they've achieved in the game. Any more before I move on? That music's probably getting repetitive for people now because you two are taking too long.
Charlie Adam.
Charlie Adam is not on the list. He's only got 200, I say only, 207.
Oh, so that's what we're...
Darren Fletcher?
Yes. Because why does Darren Fletcher not immediately spring to mind?
I don't think he'd play for three teams.
West Brom and Stoke.
West Brom, Stoke, yes.
See, okay, let's leave it there. Darren Fletcher, Gary McAllister, and four to get. Full time at Clyde1.com to keep the questions coming. And you've still got time. Hearts fans, don't go hiding on me. You were all over here, all over these phone lines last season when things were going well. So I thought we'd struck up a special bond, the east and the west of the country coming together. Let's keep it going. On last night, how do you feel about it all? And Motherwell fans, obviously being from that part of the world and knowing a lot of people who travelled over, I've seen some pictures and some videos that suggest it was a good trip. But what about the football? How did you think it went, that 1-1 draw? Can you finish the business off at home? Well, Timo Pukki's still got it, doesn't he?
What a finish.
That's an old experienced campaigner, that finish.
He's one of these guys that always gets the sort of kind of moniker, the Celtic flop, but he always feels a wee bit unfair because he was really young, he never really got a chance, and then the career he's had since then.
In Norwich, and
he was just a class act, brilliant finish. Mm-hmm. But what a performance, what a result for Motherwell, and I think they can finish it off next week.
I'm trying to like not go overboard and be biased, you know, trying to assess kind of how good that is for Motherwell. I want us as a nation to be better, obviously. I want us to aim higher. I want us to get away from thinking that, you know, you're always up against it in Europe and there's no European opponent that you can live with. They're from Finland.
What a finish.
Oh, Partick Thistle already. That's a great goal from Robbie Crawford after only 3.5 minutes, and celebrations all round. Mark Wilson, Alex Ray and co. That's brilliant.
I think that goes down as cheeky, a wee cheeky back heel.
That's just, it's just adapting to the sort of ball he has and shows that little bit of cuteness. Fantastic finish.
Straight away. I'm straight on the phone to him.
What's he done?
This is my modern, you know, of all the things that people don't like about modern football. I don't know why this one annoys me, right? So I'm not pretending it's a good observation. This is irrational. Seeing modern football where anything happens and everybody runs over to that wee iPad in the dugout and checks. Even his team's in front, and Wilson can't enjoy it because he's too busy looking at the iPad.
Great finish.
It's a lovely cheeky wee back heel. I don't know why, because I totally get it, right? I'm not on my high horse totally. I get that it makes sense. You're analysing something, you're checking where it went wrong, you're maybe have a complaint with the referee.
His iPad, is it?
But it does my head. I don't know why. It's just a...
Have you said to Alex yet?
It's not just them, it's every team. I sat behind the dugout at St Johnstone working last week, and I know for a fact Neil McCann and Billy Dodds would say, what are you on about? It's a really important tool. We need to analyse things. And I get that. I'm just, maybe I've become a bit more live in the moment in my old age. The iPads in the dugout are annoying me.
There was a game, obviously, across the weekend where there was one dugout with two iPads. I think actually had a laptop and an iPad.
That's a ban, that.
But Mark Wilson... you're right, Gordon. We need to have words with him because he's too cool to celebrate goals. He's shown that last season.
And now he's just the
ball goes in, won it. A great goal, and he's away checking his iPad.
The thing
he's changed.
What's that? Wow. The game is gone.
Yes.
Pundits are bringing their own iPads into the studio.
Is that the East Kilbride iPad?
No, we don't take an iPad. We don't actually use GPS.
Do you know what though? Because I don't mean to go all kind of, like games gone, and because I'm quite, I'm quite modern, forward thinking. I embrace sports science. I embrace modern analytics. I'm totally fine with it. But for some reason, the iPad's annoying me.
I know.
Am I just being grumpy?
Just on the bench.
I think it's more the way they all scurry round it instantly as soon as something happens. It's a behavioural thing rather than. I've nothing against the iPad. I get you need to analyse things as they're happening. There's just something about that wee. That we scurry round that they all do after or something.
The question I would ask our coach sitting here is it a fad or does it have value?
Of course, this is the thing, right?
As I say, we don't have it on the bench.
Of course, it's got value. So I'm contradicting myself here, right? I'm all for, like, there's something about it's the way they all run round it. I don't know, could you walk a wee bit slower maybe? Maybe that's what it is.
What you'll have in that stadium, because of the size of the ground, they'll have someone up in the stand as well who's radioing down, who can see the game for that point of view. What it does do is, see when a decision doesn't go your way, that's the problem with it. Because then you get your back up, you're then on the referees, and you're going, we've seen it.
Yeah.
When you probably shouldn't be able to see it until...
Here's one that I've seen, right? I won't name the team. I won't tell you when it was from. But again, if I'm doing those games at Sky, you sit behind the dugout and I'll maybe have a monitor. I've seen one where the coaching staff scurry to the iPad. They're adamant they've seen something. They jump up, they berate the ref, and then it turns out they've seen it completely wrong, even on second viewing on the iPad.
Give me the team.
I'll tell you off here. I'm not willing to throw you under the bus just yet. Anyway.
I just wonder whether Mark's watching this in the iPlayer or whether they've actually got a...
Oh, do you know what it might be, actually? It's maybe the live stream of this show that he's going to check to see if we've celebrated the goal or not. Jim is a Rangers fan. Sorry, Jim. I just get carried away there. I've let myself down. What about your team last night? Jim, can you hear us? Speaking of modern technology, right? See this screen that I've got in front of me? It says Jim Govan on the line, but I can also see Jim and Govan is trying to phone in on a different line. So I've got no idea what's going on. But it's a good early goal, that, for Partick Thistle, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And look, at home last year they were so good. As I said, I really like the way Mark's got them playing and just the job he's done. They came close last year. I think they come up a little bit short, but I think for his first full season in management, he did a good job. He's got a good thing going there with Alex. And as I said, I'd be really, really surprised if they don't get promoted this year.
I think Jim is back. Jim, what did you make of Rangers last night?
To be honest, I think it was totally not good enough. The new signings, you'd expect so much better. Shankland getting dropped to the bench, absolute joke. Devlin dropped to the bench, another absolute joke.
Did guys like, again, see, because the size is small sample, you're, Cammy Devlin, Scott, was getting slaughtered in some quarters for his performance at Tannadice. He then did come on, added what you know he can add last night, and then people are praising that. So it's very, very difficult when you're swinging from one half of football to the next.
Yeah, because they don't have a recognised style yet, so that's why you're coming up with these sort of problems. It's not as if you're swapping one player and they can come in and do the same job. It's completely different. It's a stacked area, but they're all different sort of players, but none of them are highly creative, so they've all got their different traits. Cammy Devlin, yeah, comes on, does what Cammy Devlin does, shows a bit of energy, gets about people, and at least shows has a will to win. So you can see it was the same with Raskin. I think they came on at a good time, and as I said, I don't think the bar was high for them to set after the performance of the midfield in the first half. But at the same time, it just goes back to our original point, is Derek McKenzie still trying to find out what his best team is and what the relationships look like on the park. And until he sees a performance that then results in a win for Rangers, I think you're going to see more of that. I think we'll see the same on Sunday. I think there'll be a few players come back in who were missing on Thursday.
I was just going to ask you, Jim, you don't think Rangers can get this over the line next week, Jim?
There's every possibility. Asgard, what a player he is. He looked an absolute brilliant player for a team like us. What a start he's had to this season. He shows a lot for the World Cup. He could be our best player. He could be a possible player of the year at all.
But this is the thing, because I'm going to cut Jim a bit of slack, because you've not got a lot to go on. Yeah. Seeing Friday night, the way he took his goal and some of the touches, I get that. And then last night, he's getting slaughtered because he didn't do enough. He produces that flick to nobody, and Rangers go and concede up the other end.
He just needs to do more for me. He's got all the ability in the world. He can produce moments like he did at Tannadice. Gordon and, Derek McKenzie spoke about what a great technician he was, and either foot he can get these shots away, and he showed that in the World Cup as well. I thought when he came on for Norway, he did pretty well, but flashes isn't enough at Rangers. You need to be consistent, you need to be doing it week in, week out, you need to be able to play under pressure, you can't go missing in games, which I think he's guilty of. It's just interesting to see. I think Sunday will be interesting. Is it as simple as, given the second half performance, that Cammy Devlin and Nico Raskin just start against Hibs?
Yeah, I think you probably will see the two on Sunday. For me, going back to Asgard, and I'm the same, I think he's one of the players where you see bits. He should be embracing being the guy, the go-to guy who demands the ball, and the players want to find him to go and be the guy it creates in the final third for Rangers. The goal against Dundee United is fantastic. I thought last night he was back to playing what we've seen last season, where he was playing like a wee boy at times, making really poor decisions on the ball, not understanding the way the game's going, where you've got to keep it for a bit. And I didn't enjoy his performance last night, if I'm being totally honest. But there is a player in there at times. That is the million-dollar question. Can he produce that sort of consistency week in, week out? We haven't seen it yet, but it's there for him if he wants it.
Thank you, Jim. Get round the iPad. Mark Wilson and Alex Ray, there was a penalty claim for Thistle. I don't think it will be a strong one, even second viewing. But after 11 and a half, it's still Partick Thistle 1, Livy 0. How are you two faring in this teaser? The six Scottish players who've made the most appearances in the English Premier League for at least three teams: Darren Fletcher, Man United, West Brom, Stoke; Gary McAllister, Leeds, Coventry, Liverpool. Any others?
Colin Hendry.
He has only made, I say again, only 218 appearances. So you need some amount of appearances and the three clubs to get on this list.
James Morrison,
only two clubs.
James McArthur, only two clubs as well.
Yes, he would be on the list appearances wise, but yeah, not enough, but not clubs.
David Marshall.
No. Come on, you're letting yourself down now. It's getting silly.
It's not an easy question, that.
No, it's not. It is not. Right, I'll give you some thinking time. They're all three of them certainly are back a good bit. They're all kind of back a wee bit now, I would say.
How much is back a good bit? We're in 2026 now.
Nah, I mean, some of these are sort of
like Gordon Strachan's and that.
Nah, maybe in between that. None of them are like the first couple of years of the English Premier League, but maybe late 90s and then a couple of them early 2000s, that sort of thing. Okay, give you thinking time and we'll get your answers hopefully next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Allen and David Friel are here. We're looking for six Scottish players on the teaser who've made the most appearances in the English Premier League, but for three clubs, a minimum of three. So there's so many on here. Like Andy Robertson has got 332 English Premier League appearances, but so far only for Hull and Liverpool, so he doesn't get on it. Darren Fletcher is, Gary McAllister is. Did you get any during the break?
Don Hutchison?
Yes. Liverpool, West Ham, Everton, Sunderland, 220. Stick him down.
I'm going to go for Phil Bardsley.
Oh, he's got his eye in now. 303 appearances. Man United, Aston Villa, Sunderland, incredible. Stoke, Burnley. Two to get. We'll leave it there. Still 1-0 Thistle. They're good for the lead, aren't they, Scott?
Yeah, listen, they've been on top. What they're doing is, any time Livingston are trying to play through and they play that straight pass, they're just jumping on it and they look as if they can catch them on the counter-attack. Good start to the game for Thistle.
Livy won't be too impressed with what they've seen so far.
No, I just think you expect a bit more. You know, Glenn Whelan is quite a competitive character. I remember him as a player. He had that brief spell at Hearts as well. Obviously, a really good career down south as well. I think he'll be looking for a bit more. I mean, you look through the squad, Livingston half year, still got a lot of experience. You know, we see guys like Graham Carey, Robbie Muirhead, all that. But yeah, Thistle have been a better team so far.
Do you know what I can just imagine as well? Somewhere in the Livingston area, Bartley will be sitting watching us, cheering on Partick Thistle, but only because his Super Scoreboard colleagues are in the dugout. I'm sure that's the only, I'm sure so that's the only that. Reason.
He's not a man to hold a grudge.
I think he'll be there in a scouting capacity.
Is that his style?
Can we find out?
Nah, he's lazy. I think he likes home comforts too much. I think he'll be sitting with his feet up somewhere. Gordon is a Hearts fan. I've been asking for one, and you have delivered, Gordon. How do you begin to kind of sum up how you feel last night when it's such a heavy defeat? But you know, it's Benfica after all.
Yeah, evening, gents. I mean, to be honest, I mean, when I went out to watch the game in the pub, I said to my wife before I went out, you know, if I come back and it's 5-0, you know, it'll be kind of what I expected. And when I came back and it was 6-1, it was still a 5-goal difference. So, yeah, but I mean, there's nothing more than I expected, to be honest. They're a good team, but I just feel with, you know, the Hearts just now, the whole guts has been ripped out of the team. You know, we've lost. Okay, Derek McInnes went to Rangers. Manager, we've lost. The goalkeepers, we lost Craig Gordon and Swallow. Now, Craig Gordon was a massive influence at the club. Swallow was a really good, he was a good, reliable goalie last year. Then the centre of defence, Craig Halkett's injured. We lost Steinvender, we lost Frankie Kent. And you know, Milne just now looks lost without these guys at the back. And then going into midfield, okay, we lost Devlin, but I think a bigger influence, okay, Cammy Devlin was brilliant for us, but Benny Beningame, you know, he was so controlling in that midfield when he was fit. We lost him as well, and then, you know, up front, we lost Shanks, and I just think Braga looks totally lost without, you know, Shanklin playing with him, you know, so... I think also psychologically, losing all these guys, the guys that were in the team last year, like Milne, Kingsley, Magnussen and that, they just seem to have, you know, psychologically affected by losing all these guys round about them, and also just what happened in the last game of the season. I just think it's been overpowering for the whole team, you know, and I'm really kind of... Well, I don't know what's going to happen. We're in a state of flux, I feel.
Yeah, and that summed up well, isn't it, David? Because that Hearts team at full tilt last season would probably have struggled away to Benfica. Yeah. So never mind the new look team with all those guys missing and in a transitional period and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I was only half joking right at the start of the show, Gordon, when I said you just need to airbrush it from history, because, look, better Scottish teams would have gone there and lost heavily and have lost heavily in the past. I think Hearts, it was just a mismatch. If you look at Hearts last season, as you said, where they were probably a bit more settled, certainly more settled, and they were in a real rhythm, I think they would have struggled. So if you add in the new manager and everything else, as Gordon's saying, just in terms of the new signings, you know, a new back four, a new keeper, everything about that, and players not knowing each other, and
new style of play.
Yeah,
it's not like Motherwell, because the Motherwell managers came in and kept a lot the same, yeah, and the players know the system. This is a complete different system. I actually think Hearts will be okay long term.
I think they will be as well. I actually think they were really, really unlucky at Pittodrie last Saturday night to lose the game. I don't know how they managed to lose that game. And then I think they showed even in flashes last night what Wouters Rankings tried to do. The goal was unbelievable. You'll be able to get a better goal from a Scottish club in Europe this season, but, you know, it was the only positive really on the night. But I think once things settle down, I think Europe, it's not a hindrance. You can never say that being a Champions League qualifier and then Europa League is a hindrance. But
see, if rival fans have got anything about them, they'll clip you up saying that and do the old, you know, the meme, the fake trophy.
Fake trophy.
Just get a trophy for that best goal you'll see best from goal, a Scottish club in Europe this season. But you've got to take the positives. Yeah. Overall, Gordon, do you think you'll be okay? If you were just to look at results at the start of the season, you'd think Hearts were in for a disastrous season. But is that your fear, or do you think it'll be fine?
No, I mean, I think we'll be okay, but I think we're under a bit of pressure, or the manager's under a bit of pressure, you know, on Sunday. You know, we're at home at Dundee United, and if we don't win that game, I really think there'll be a bit of pressure on. I mean, I'm quite willing to give the manager time. I hope that it works in cooperation with Jamestown and that. But yeah, I mean, I'm reasonably confident. Good. I think in the second half last night we played, it was a long period. We moved the ball about quite well, and I thought we were okay. So last week against Aberdeen, I mean, I sat and watched that game, and oh my goodness, I was so frustrated at the end of that game. We had that game under total control, and it was just, but defensively we do seem to be really a bit lax.
Gordon, you're making a lot of good points, but I am fast out of time. That music is playing and we're about to get kicked off here. I was enjoying that call as well, so I was trying to let it go as long as we could. But there we are, two more in the teaser. Six Scottish players, most appearances in English Premier League, but for three teams: Darren Fletcher, Gary McAllister, Phil Bardsley, Don Hutchison,
Dominic Mateo.
Yes.
And there's always a keeper, Neil Sullivan.
Brilliant. Well done, you two. We are back 2 o'clock tomorrow. Make sure you join us, and the GBX is up next.